produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord, and today again, we are looking forward to another reading and study of God's Word. I always get so excited when we can read God's Word, and I always read it with a view of what nuggets can I get out of it today, what revelation can I get. You know, you can read the same scripture so many times and still get fresh nuggets and a fresh word out of it. And I know even in my life, the Lord has had me preach the same message. Sometimes I've preached some messages, the same message over years, more than 20 years, more than 20 times. And each time it comes out with a different flavor, with a different emphasis, with different revelation. So the Word of God is always fresh. It's powerful. It's a two-edged sword. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a hammer. It's got so many sides to it, so many aspects to it, revelatory sides. And always when you read the Word of God, ask God to, ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation. You have to read the Word of God through the eyes of His Spirit. Otherwise, you will miss a lot of what is being said if you try and read it in a dry fashion, and or if you try and read it in a legalistic way. You will not get the real truth, the revelatory truth of what it contains. So it's always very, very exciting just to get a chance to read the Word, meditate upon it, and digest it. You know, the instructions that God gave to Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, He said, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll when God was giving Ezekiel a mandate. I just love Ezekiel because I identify very closely with Ezekiel. When God began to speak to me many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, about the office that He called me into, one of the offices, which is the prophetic office, along with the apostolic office, God spoke to me a lot about Ezekiel. And so I identify with Ezekiel a lot because He told Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, listen, the people I'm sending you to, they are stubborn people. They are stiff-necked, which means they're rebellious. And, you know, He warned him that they will not listen. But God said to him that even in spite of that, He said, I've given you a hard forehead, a hard forehead. And prophetically, a hard forehead represents a number of things. A hard forehead means you are focused. A hard forehead also means you will not compromise. A hard forehead means that, you know, you are also fearless. So there are aspects around that hard forehead that you're focused. You're also fearless. You are a person of no compromise. And God spoke to me and said, you know, like Ezekiel, because He said to Ezekiel, don't be scared of these people. Don't be intimidated by them because I've given you a hard forehead. What we must always be careful of as prophets, which is something God spoke to me about personally. He said, don't have such a hard forehead that you break my people. So hard foreheads must be balanced with soft hearts, compassionate hearts, loving hearts, so that you can love God's people and you don't just have a hard forehead of no compromise that now is wounding to God's people. So every prophet, which is something God spoke to me about personally, He said, make sure that daughter, I give you this hard forehead of focus, hard forehead of no compromise, hard forehead of not being diluted, make sure that you balance your hard forehead with also a soft heart. And so I thank God and Holy Spirit for that revelation and for hearing His voice as He ministered to me and raised me up in the office of prophet. But yes, going back to the Word, and today I want to share a word. I was going through my messages as I was just praying to God and asking Him, what should I speak on? I was just scrolling through my messages and I came across an old message that I'd ministered and shared many, many years ago on wild gourds. And this message really resonated in my spirit. I felt like, You know, I should teach and just share on this word. There's certain principles that we can get. It's a story that comes from 2 Kings 4, and we're going to read from verses 38 to 40. It's an account that some of us may be familiar with, maybe others not so much, but people who are in the prophetic office, I know, would know this story. And there are some principles and nuggets that we can pick up for ourselves in this season. And 2 Kings 4, verses 38 to 40 reads as follows. It says, "When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting at his feet, he said to his attendant, 'Put on the large pot and boil some stew for the sons of the prophets.'" Verse 39, "One of them went out to the field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. And they poured it out for the men to eat. But when they tasted the stew, they cried out, 'There is death in the pot, O man of God!' And they could not eat it." They could not eat it. So I want to talk about this scripture. And I think this message is also very important. It's got some really good, great nuggets for people who are youthful, not necessarily just youthful in age, but you may be youthful in the Lord. It's got some good nuggets around the dangers of youthful and unknowledgeable and also unteachable ministers of the gospel. We are all called to be ministers of the gospel at some level, but we must be careful that, you know, not knowing, when you're not knowledgeable and when you have an unteachable spirit, it can just be so dangerous, not only for us, but it can be dangerous for others. So this is an account of sons of prophets. So one of the first things I want to talk about and mention is that this was a team. The sons of prophet were a team. They were seated together and they were seated at Elisha's feet. Elisha was their mentor. Elisha was their teacher. Elisha the prophet, you know, who himself was mentored also by Elijah. And, you know, last week I did a session on mentoring and being mentored, and it's always very important that you be mentored and that you also mentor. And I shared on some sharings around how to select mentors and the importance of having mentors in your life. Mentoring is a biblical principle, which many people don't actually subscribe to, but it is very biblical. And sometimes when we try and apply mentoring and mentorship in our lives, we use corporate or worldly principles, and we have to be very careful about that. So these were sons of prophets, and they were a team. And they were supposed to function together as a team. However, and they were still in training. They were being trained by Elisha. And it's very important. You know, there are dynamics to the team. And if you are in leadership, you know, in ministry, and also one of the leaders, it's very important to be aware of team dynamics. One of the things that I've picked up over my life over the years is that there are certain team dynamics, and you always want to encourage people to work together as a group, to work together as a family. And that's why one of the things we do is Global Forum for Women Entrepreneurs is always encourage relationship. Those who, you know, serve along with me in GFWE and in other networks will always know that I'm always encouraging us to work together as a team, as a family. I'm always trying to encourage us to be relational, because the dynamics, kingdom dynamics, require us to function together as a team. There's no such thing as working together as one person. I've worked with many, many different networks, and many networks, you'll find that there's that one person who wants to stand out. Rather than functioning together as a team, they want to rather use people in a Nimrodic or Babylonian way just to build their platform. And so the way we function together as a team. And oftentimes I would love when we have meetings and events that we have different people sharing. So it's not just one person sharing, but there are a number of people also getting involved and sharing, so that the fullness of what we all bring, our different diversified and different giftings, can be manifested. So this, the sons of prophets were supposed to be a team. They were supposed to be function as a team. They were still in training, being trained by Elijah. But in verse 39, we read, it says, one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. One of them. So this was not a team of them going out. So one of the first principles that we get from this, I want to talk about, is that one of them breaks ranks from the others. They break ranks. So they didn't go out together as a team to gather herbs. This is one son of prophet who decides to go out on his own, do his own thing. And I want to share with you as ministries and networks that, you know what? There will always be that one person, or even more than one, it could be one or two, that one person who breaks ranks from others. There will always be that one person who thinks they know better than others, or they're too good, or they're too clever, or, you know, things are not happening here, so let me go and do my own thing, and I have special ideas. So every ministry, every network will always have that one or two people who will break rank, and instead of being part of a teamwork, doing things in a collective, united in agenda, united in one accord, there'll always be that one person who will break rank and go out to the field to gather herbs, do that thing which was not part of the mandate, do that thing which was not part of the discussion, part of the agenda. And that person often will also, that same person who's breaking rank, or people, couple of people who are breaking rank, will often also have an unteachable spirit. They're also usually identifiable by the fact that they have unteachable spirits. Now, the mandate that was given was to all of them was to say, put on a large pot and boil the stew. And what this one who broke rank went to do, it was not part of the mandate. It was not part of the mandate. And we're not saying that, look, if God speaks to you in a certain way, if God speaks to you in a certain way, that you cannot follow his spirit. I always encourage people to follow the leading of the spirit. But you also have to be careful of that one person, two people who break rank and have an unteachable spirit and want to do their own thing. And many times in doing their own thing, they will also try and convince others to break rank and convince others to do their own thing. So as a ministry, as a family, one always wants to guard against that spirit of wanting to do their own thing. And the second thing that we pick up from verse 39, from this whole scripture and this whole scriptural account, is that this son of prophet who is identified in 39, and what's interesting, you know, there's no name, we don't know what his name was. And that often will happen. A lot of people sometimes who try to distinguish themselves and make a name for themselves with the spirit of Nimrod, because Nimrod was that person who was trying to build to make a name for himself. So interestingly enough, this one who broke rank and did his own thing with an agenda of wanting to make a name for himself actually ended up nameless. And so, you know, one of the things I've learned in my years of ministry, God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I will make your name great. So we are not to pursue greatness and pursue making our own names great, but we are actually to pursue, you know, the kingdom. That's what the mandate is in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then it is God who makes your name great. God spoke to Abraham, said, it's me. I will make your name great, and it's not for our sake, but it's for God's sake, that God will begin to open platforms. God will begin to open doors for you to express the kingdom of God, not for you and I to brag about, not for you and I to boast, not for you and I, you know, to oppress others or to abuse others, but for you and I, so that we can become platforms of his kingdom expression, expressing God, expressing his ways, expressing kingdom protocols and principles and standards, expressing the kingdom blueprints out there. So this one breaks ranks. He goes out to do what was not part of the mandate. He has an unteachable spirit. He goes and gathers wild gourds from a wild vine. This is prophetically, if you know what the scripture is saying, it's actually talking about his rebelliousness. So the fact that he gathered wild gourds and a wild vine is a symbol of rebellion. So the wildness, it keeps emphasizing the wildness. Wildness is talking of rebellion. Wildness is symbolizing a rebellious spirit. And my prayer for you and I is that as God uses us to build his networks, as God uses us to build and release his kingdom protocols, that we will not become wild gourds. We will not be going to look for wild vines. We will not reflect rebellion. We will not have that unteachable spirit. We will not be those who break rank, you know, because we want to distinguish ourselves or because we think we're better than anybody else, but that God will gather us and connect us in a family way so we can become united in one accord, each of us serving God and serving in the ministry with a view and with a perspective of wanting to lift Yeshua and lift up his name, not with a view of wanting to make a name for ourselves. So here's this one. He's gathering wild gourds from a wild vine. He's rebellious. This is a symbol of rebellion. And this is somebody who thought he knew what he was doing. But in actual fact, we find out that he actually didn't know what he was doing. He had no idea of what he was doing. And this is often the case we find with people who have an unteachable spirit, people who are rebellious. They think they know what they're doing. Many of them think that they know better than everybody else, that, and many of them will come to a place where they're like, okay, I know enough. Now I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I'm going to make my own way. And this is a picture of this guy here. He went out. He's like, okay, you all can just cook your pot out there, but I know better. I know what I'm doing. And you know, that spirit of pride, that spirit of know-it-all, that spirit of I know more and better, and I'm on a greater path, actually almost not only almost killed him, but almost killed others as well. And sometimes when we step out in that pride and that arrogance of thinking we know better, we put ourselves in danger and we put others in danger because we go and collect that which is not good for us. We go and collect that which endangers our lives. So it's very important to really submit ourselves to be part of the corporate presbytery and make sure that we are in a network and amongst a group of people that are being spirit-led, led by God's spirit, and together fulfilling kingdom vision and kingdom mandate. Another thing that I picked up in reading the scripture is that it says in verse 39, it says that his garment was full. His garment was full. It says that one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. He found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. So he took over. Not only did he gather wild vines and wild gourds, but it said as many as his garment could hold. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot of these wild gourds. He had gathered a lot of these wild vines from these wild vines. And it says that his garment was full. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot, but it was of the wrong quality. What he gathered was not fit for consumption. Sometimes we can go out there and we can gather a lot of information and we can think that our garments are full, but the quality of that information is not the right information. And I know this especially for myself as somebody who has worked in the corporate environment for more than 3 decades. I know that there's a lot of information out there that looks good, that we can think it's of the right quality, but it's not of the right quality. Our garments can look full, may look like, oh, I'm getting all this information. I'm going to all these meetings. I'm going to all these, I'm part of all these networks. And it may look like your garment is full with knowledge. Your garment is full of information. But I want us to ask ourselves that question. Are you gathering secular teachings? Are you gathering humanistic teachings? Or are you gathering the word of God? Because many of these corporate places are just bringing in Babylonian teachings, are just bringing in Egyptian teachings. And so our responsibility is not to be gathering in information out there that will pollute our minds and pervert our spirits. Some of that information is wild gourd information that is toxic, that will actually contaminate our spirit. So be careful as you go out there. What are you gathering? That's the question I want to put to you out there. What are you gathering? Are you gathering information that is biblical, information that is kingdom aligned, information that is based on his word? Or are you gathering wild gourds and it's looking like your garment is full, but in actual fact, you are just gathering stuff of wrong quality, and what you're gathering is not fit for consumption for a son of God, for a believer. So what are you gathering? Ask yourself, do a review, conduct a study of your life, examine yourself, ask Holy Spirit to examine yourself and ask yourself, what am I gathering? Is it fit for consumption? Is this something that can be shared with other people? Is it perverting my spirit? Is it polluting my mind? What am I gathering? What am I gathering? So it's very, very important. Your garment may look like it's full, and associations are key. This is somebody who went out there, was not associated with anybody. He went out there on his own lone journey out there. So it's very important, beloveds. Let us not gather wild gourds. Let us not gather wild gourds. And wherever you are, in whatever place you are, in whatever network you are, always ask yourself, what is being served? Is it possible that wild gourds may be served? Always ask yourself, is it fit for consumption? Is what is being served, is it fit for consumption? Always ask yourself, you know, and interrogate the word that is being brought. Is this word a word that is fit for consumption? Or is this a wild gourd word? Is this a word that is toxic? Is this a word that will contaminate my spirit? Is this a word that will pervert my thoughts? Is this a word that will lead me down the wrong path? Is this a word that will take me out of my pursuit of the kingdom and focus me on secular humanistic ways? Is this a word that will launch me in the world but take me out of the kingdom? Is this a word? Wow, that's straight from the Holy Spirit. He said, is this a word? He said, ask them. Is this a word that will launch me in the world, onto the world platform, but take me out of the kingdom of God? Oh, Father, we thank you for that word. And that's just a prayer point right there, that I pray that you and I will pray that, Lord, let not anything take me out. Let me not be taken out by things that look attractive, but they are wild gourds, by things that look like they're launching me, but they're taking me out of the kingdom. I pray that this will not happen to you and I. So, you know, we have to interrogate that what is being served. Is it wild gourds? Is it fit for consumption? Interrogate what is being taught. Is it aligned with the kingdom blueprints and kingdom spirit? Interrogate the spirit of whatever is being released. What is the spirit behind? 1 John 4:1 is an instruction. It's not a recommendation. It's not a proposal. It's an instruction. We are to test the spirit. Interrogate the spirit that is behind the serving, whatever is being served. Test that spirit. That's what 1 John 4:1 says. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out in the world." So it's very, very important, beloveds. It's very, very important. This son of the prophet, he thought he was gathering something, you know, some knowledge, some information. It could be knowledge or information. He thought he was gathering some herbs which were going to be part of the cooking, but really what he was gathering was death. He was gathering death. And, you know, sometimes we go out there, we think we're gathering something that we're going to use, and all we're doing is gathering death. Now, you know, when the Bible talks about death, somebody may be saying, "Oh, I'm not going to die. It's not going to kill me." Sometimes the death that's being referred to is not necessarily physical death. It could be death to our spirit. It could be gathering death to our destiny. It could be gathering death to our future. All those issues could be around gathering death. So be careful of what you gather out there. Be careful you don't break rank. Be careful you don't start developing an unteachable spirit and going out there on your lone exercise to go out there to gather death. It may not necessarily be physical death, but it may be a spiritual death. So this person, all the sons of prophets were instructed to cook, but this son of the prophet decided to put the herbs himself in the stew, didn't obey instruction, unteachable and rebellious spirit. And the last few things that I want to touch on is the aspect of the field. The son of the prophet went to the field to gather these wild herbs, to get these wild vines, to get these wild gourds. He got the ingredient for the soup, for the stew from the field. And field is actually, if you look for the Hebrew word for field, the Hebrew word for field is sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. It refers to an open, uncultivated area of land. And in that place, you can only find that which grows wild. So he went into the field where it was just gathering wild things. And in the scripture, the field represents the world. It represents the world. So he was really going out into the world. And Romans 12:2 admonishes us that and tells us not to be conformed to the world, but it says that we must be transformed. And that transformation comes through the renewal of our minds so that we can now perform the acceptable, good and acceptable will of God. So when we go out into the field to gather wild gourds, we are not able to fulfill the good, acceptable will of God, because our minds cannot be transformed. When you go out to the world and gather wild gourds of secular humanistic teachings that are there to position you in an neurotic way, in a Babylonian way, then we now start conforming to the world instead of being aligned with the kingdom of God principles. So the son of prophet went into the world. He brought back things from the world, and he was bringing back poisonous herbs, and because he was not trained fully, he was not even able to identify that these herbs were poisonous. He separated himself from the rest of the group, separated himself from godly teachings. And because he was untrained, he was not able to realize that these herbs were poisonous. Beloveds, the world is full of poisonous ideas. They look harmless sometimes. They may even look and resemble the truth, but many of them are bitter. They bring death. They bring sorrow. And for us to be able to recognize this, it's important that we be trained, in the Word of God, and in training, being trained of the Word of God, so that we in turn may equip others in truth. This is what Paul said to Timothy, and he said it to him in 2 Timothy 2:2. And he said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So we have to gather good herbs, herbs that will add aroma to the stew, not herbs that will kill people. Gather good knowledge, biblical knowledge, biblically based knowledge, not secular humanistic teachings that just are focused on mammon, focused on making money, focused on making names for ourselves. So let us be careful of going out into the field, going out into the world, which is full of poisonous ideas and poisonous solutions to life. Let us make sure that we are people who are trained and have a discriminating spiritual ear, a discriminating spiritual eye, that we can identify things, worldly things that may sound and look good, but are full of death and misery. And so praise the Lord. It's great that the sons of prophets, the scripture tells us that the sons of prophet cried out to the man of God. They cried out and they said, man of God, you know, man of God, they cried out to him. And I want to just encourage us, each and every one of us, that let us make sure that we're always crying out to God, because only God has the antidote to death, and only God has the antidote to toxic things, and he carries life. Yeshua came that we might have life and have it more in abundance. So praise God. I pray that you've been ministered to by this word. Let us not go out and gather wild gourds. Let us not go out into the field to bring worldly, secular, humanistic teachings, but let us go out there, be part of a team, make sure that we have a teachable spirit, that we don't operate in rebellion, but functioning together as a team, serving as a team in one accord with one language, so that we can make sure we prepare a stew that is edible, a stew that will bless many, a stew that can be served and will bless and minister to many. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, Shimikoto Ministries. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Standard Time, Western Standard Time, as we bring to you the power and the authority of the Word of God. I'm going to ask you right now to get yourself ready and get your Bibles as we engage together. This one is going to be a talk show, so I'm going to ask you to engage with me right now and just allow the Spirit of God to begin to speak to your life. And I strongly believe your life will never be the same again. Let's get on right now together. We are dealing with the topic of Moses on that rock, or the rock incident. And we are looking at the study of Moses, why he did not get into the promised land, yet God had given him a clear vision. Join us. God bless you. Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network International and our co-producer, Kayla Paget. This is Apostle Josh Moyo. Thank you. 20. From verse 6 to verse 11 or 12. And then we're going to, second scripture will be Exodus chapter 2 from verse 11. Let's start with Numbers 20 from verse 6. You going to read for me?
Yep.
Go ahead.
So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared on them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank.
Okay. It's a painful story, only because the next verse where you have stopped tells you what is God's judgment on Moses. What is it?
His judgment.
Yeah. In the next verse.
But then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.
It's a painful story, only because the longer I live, I'm 51 years of age, my desire has always been I want to die fulfilled. I wanted the end of my life, I should be able to say, I enjoyed what I was doing.
Yeah, I want to be able to say that.
Right?
Yep.
Because the truth is, I've seen enough of frustrated men.
Mm-hmm.
But the time there, you'd say, oh, I wish I could have. They live in regret, they live in pain, opportunities sometimes of having served everyone else, and they undervalued themselves. And as a result of that, you die lonely, frustrated.
Mm.
You've got everything. Maybe garage has got two cars.
Okay.
You've got a double story, but you can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Mm. And I do believe that in the purpose of engaging with what Pastor Marie has asked me to come and share with you, come every fortnight, isn't it? Yeah. It's for you and I to understand that the journey from Egypt to the promised land has got this middle part, which is called the wilderness. And the wilderness is an unavoidable path that you and I, we have to face in our time. Oftentimes, I think in Christendom, what we have done in our churches and the pulpiteers is to make you focus to your goal, which is good, but without telling you the process in between, what's going to be involved. That's good in a way, because God did not say a lot about the wilderness path to Moses. The vision was clear. You are taking my people to the promised land, right? And we all agree, promised land is not heaven,
yeah.
Right? Promised land is a place where you and I reach and able to say, like Paul, I've done and completed my course. I've run the race. I'm ready for the crown. That's my desire.
When Lord Nelson, Lord Hiroshi Nelson, Admiral of the fleet in 200 years ago, when his last words were, thank God I did my duty, and then
exactly.
He died. I think that's amazing.
And Kai, that's
Battle of Trafalgar.
That's right. And I believe that history has proven that.
Yeah.
Men who die satisfied and fulfilled.
Yeah.
And that should be our goal. That should be our desire. That should be our passion. At the end of the day, I think I should be able to live my life to such an extent that I've done justice to the gifts and abilities that is inside of me. Isn't it said that it was one man who mentioned and said human beings, we use only about 10% of our brain? I think my prayer today is that as we continue to go with God, I want to identify areas which makes us to be stuck, and areas how we can be unstuck in those areas of stuckness as we walk with God.
Yeah.
And I do know there are many of us with the different issues that we can be able to see. For Moses, I see there was this one thing that was unidentified, that remained unaddressed, that remained, and his issue, and I think the pain of it all, Moses' issue was not alcohol. Moses' issue was not drugs. Moses' issue was not meth. It was not ice. Moses' issue was not cocaine. Moses' issue was emotional. Small as it is, caused them God to say, you aren't going to your promised land. That's painful. You look at that and say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to learn here? Yeah? Because Moses' issue is not your issue. Your issue is not my issue. But the truth is, God is wanting us to understand not being able to address things at root stage that become bigger as you go. And I think I've said this to us before, as I often say, that sometimes your past issue may be lying inside of your heart dormant, but dormant does not mean delivered.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
that's true.
Could be just masked over.
Yeah.
The fact that
if I have an anger issue and I'm now staying here in the house,
yeah,
and I've gone for days and weeks and months, and I'm thinking,
doesn't mean you're well.
Hey.
Yeah.
I'm now okay, actually.
Yeah.
I last was angry in January.
Yeah.
Maybe because
you haven't been triggered.
Yeah, you've got to learn to mask it up.
You are in a safe environment.
Yeah.
Nobody's triggering it.
That's
yeah?
True. I can relate to that.
Yeah. Let's go deep today, can we?
Very true. That's good.
Very true.
Let's go deep today. Let's unmask this thing, word, Kai. Let's unmask this thing, this facade that we put.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we know how to hide it.
Yeah.
And I'm now learning as I'm reading this issue of Moses that, okay. So God can call me to manifest the gift that is in me. But if I confuse my calling for my healing, I'll miss it.
Yes, sir.
What do you exactly mean by that?
I'll explain. That sometimes God can call me to minister to his people. They see miracles. They see signs and wonders. Everybody say, gee, gosh, that brother there, when you see him with the Bible, the way he extrapolates the scriptures, the revelation that flows out of his mouth, until they come and see him on a Monday. Do that make sense now?
Yeah.
That sometimes you can confuse anointing and not being able to navigate the differences between your annoyances and anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
that's good.
Do I make sense?
Yes, you do.
Home.
That's why I thought today, when God was giving me this, that I'm going to record myself today, because I thought I want to tweet some few things afterwards. That you can be anointed and still being annoyed. Now, there's nothing wrong with you being annoyed, because as we can tell, the issue of Moses was still being gifted. Come on.
Absolutely.
He did a good job.
Absolutely.
Who can take out 2 million or 3 million, as we're told by historians, people at one go and shepherd them out of Egypt? He was used by God to deliver them out. He was not an eloquent speaker. We now know. He was a stammerer. But he took them out of bondage. But the problem was the wilderness. Because it is always the wilderness, it's always the middle that will reveal what you are made out of. It happened not only in Moses' life, it happened even in Jesus' life. I often say the greatest moment of pain in Jesus' life was not death on the cross. That was finality. It was the garden grove of Gethsemane.
Oh, leading to it.
Because in the garden of Gethsemane, that's when his will was fighting against God's will.
Yeah.
It was not on the cross.
Yeah.
The cross was the walkover. Because on the cross he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
I know, therefore, the cross was not an issue.
But in the garden, it said,
but the garden, he's saying, this cup is heavy.
Yeah.
Point one to point fulfillment of your promise or the destiny that God has set for you. There is the journey in the middle. That's the wilderness part. That is where the issues rise up. That is the dormant part. Where people trigger you. Where things happen and they will reveal. The wilderness will always reveal what has been healed and what has not been healed.
Amen.
Yep. When you leave here, that's the wilderness.
Where you read, we were told by the scriptures that when the problem of water was encountered, Moses and Aaron are told to go to the tabernacle.
Yeah.
On the tabernacle, they fell on their faces, which means they did the right thing. Whenever there is a problem, I take it to God, isn't it? We know that. They went to the tabernacle in the presence of God. And while it's there in the presence of God, then God spoke to them in the presence of God. There is always the voice of God that speaks. So it teaches me a principle. I need to know who to go to when I'm stuck. Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle of the presence of the Lord. And when they were there, God spoke. Here is what God spoke to them. God speaks something clearly. Rise up, go before my people,
and go and speak over the rock. Picture of Jesus Christ there, as you can tell. And they heard well, but they acted wrongly. The picture of you and I in our journey. What you heard on Sunday when Ash was preaching does not end in what you heard until you act upon it. Make sense?
Yes.
Because the Bible says, it is not just the hearing, but blessed are those who hear and do these sayings of mine. Yeah. The word works in my life at the point when I'm acting on it.
Okay.
I just don't want to be a hearer. Because Sunday in and Sunday out, weekly, we are all are hearing what God wants us to do. So I think I'm learning a few things there that are just very, very important for me, that I think the issue will manifest oftentimes on the journey to the fulfillment of the destiny that God has called for me. Issues will begin to manifest. And the issues that manifest, as we often say, are an indication of the first pain that I encountered in my life. For Moses, what is the pain? Because if you look at Moses, Moses is told by God to speak to the rock, but now realize what was unidentified and what was unaddressed in his life manifests itself when the people are angry at him. And therefore, when it manifests, instead of speaking to the rock which God has said, he struck the rock. That rock incident. I want to ask you right now, what is your rock incident?
What about you?
What is your rock incident? Because we all have our rock incidents. That rock incidents, if you're not careful, it could be just that one thing that will stop you from enjoying the best God has for you. For Moses, striking the rock twice tells me there was an underlying issue that was there. It's easy when we read that verse now to say, Moses had a short temper problem here. Moses had an anger issue. But I've said to you before, Moses' problem, Ash, was not anger. Anger was a result of an issue.
That's true.
Because anger is not the first emotion.
Secondary.
It's always the secondary emotion.
Would you say it was like probably a part of it would be when Moses struck the guy with the rock or struck the Egyptian guard? Do you think that would have been an underlying issue that caused the anger because he was...
Part of it. Yeah. Part of it. It's part of it, as we will see. It's part of it. By the time you see Exodus 2, verse 11, which probably is good. You are there right now?
No, this is Numbers.
Go to Exodus chapter 2. Come and then read for me that one, because that's very, very important. Chapter 2, from verse 11, Exodus.
Here you go, Anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's read, let's see.
And verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and told him, and hid him in the sand.
Now, here's what you see. When Moses is grown up, we are looking at the place of the desert of Zin, where God says him, give me clear instructions to speak to the rock. Then he strikes the rock and realizes that something is being manifesting here in this guy. But we want to know, where is it coming from? And when you read Exodus chapter 2, where Cam is read there, we see something that is taking place. He's grown up, he goes to visit his brothers, and when he looks, he finds there are these two guys that are fighting, and realize one of them is his own tribe, the Hebrew fighting against an Egyptian. And the Bible goes on to tell us as well that he looks this side and that side. He kills the Egyptian. I said it's part of the issue because I want you to understand there is a conflict already in him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's good for you and I to understand. Being a deliverer was always his calling. But dealing with undealt, unidentified issues in him was supposed to be the primary thing that he needed to do before he delivers them. Because your calling is not your healing. I've heard a lot of people say, gee gosh, I'm shocked. This guy is a powerful teacher. He's a powerful preacher. But gee gosh, if you see him, how he addresses his family, or see how he addresses his children, or see how he addresses people, what's going on there? Because usually anointing does not solve the undealt issues within us. The anointing of God in our lives is real and authentic. But don't confuse that for your healing. I think we can solve many problems in our churches and the ministries if we have healed people, because healed church heal community. Am I right about it? Could it be that you agree with me that maybe an average Aussie, reason why they don't want to be with Christians, it's not because they don't like God, but I think maybe part of it, we've been poor representative of this God.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yes.
Help me. I'm not Australian in that sense, but help me. Why is it, it's like almost, it's like they've been there. They've seen it play around, and therefore they say, that doesn't work for me, mate.
I've tried that.
That doesn't work for me.
They don't want to surrender, but...
Yes, that's part of it. But I think let's address the issues here.
Yeah, they say stuff outside.
Moses was really called by God. Mm. He had the calling. But there's a conflict in there that makes him to do what he would believe is the right thing in killing the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. But in killing the Egyptian, I think it's a conflict and a metaphor of a picture of what is inside of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
Because he's born, from the day he's born, there is already a pandemic in the whole of Egypt.
Killing every boy.
Boys 2 years under are thrown in the very same river where he's going to be thrown into, but he'll be spared.
Yeah.
Right? You agree with me that that's a tragedy enough,
yeah,
for a little boy who does not know what's going on around him. That all he realizes is surrounded by these bloody animals, creatures that are devouring flesh.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's going to be preserved. And there's the conflict that gets bigger.
He'd be resentful.
He is nursed by his mother. But he is raised in the wrong platform. Mm. Come on, how bad does it get? Mm. The conflict of him having the breast coming from the mother. Mm. And as I often say, I was saying, preaching this to our church, and say, I wanted to picture, because the mother's bond with the kids right here.
Yeah.
Mm. Moses, come on, Hebrew boy. Hebrew boy. Right? Mm. Goes back, he sees Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah. Who does he call mother?
Exactly.
When it's time for breastfeeding again, come on, Hebrew boy. I think by the time he learns to speak words, could it be that is why he has a speech impediment?
Because that's not his natural language.
Because mama is teaching him Hebrew.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's daughter is teaching him Egyptian.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Point.
Yeah. So would you say that he, like deep down, he had the orphan spirit on him because of that?
Abandonment, if you like. Put it all together.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's enough abandonment there.
Yeah.
If you are born and then Everybody soon is going to call you a basket boy.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because you are thrown in the river, which means you are not bonding properly, but you are being fed from the right source. But this right source is conflicted because in Egypt you are being fed Egyptian food and culture and values and beliefs. So by the time he grows up, where you read in verse 11, they're fighting. The inward identity says, that's my DNA.
Yeah.
He must win.
Yeah.
The conflict in him, golden vessels, golden platter, golden spoon, sees the Egyptian and he says, nah, I'm going to kill you. The conflict in him, in killing that guy, could it be that you are here, your issue probably that found you in prison was not because you killed anybody, but maybe is it because you were trying to do the right thing? But in trying doing the right thing, you are doing it wrongly. And you find yourself in prison.
Yeah.
Your story is understandable. If I'd ask you right now, what found you in prison? Your story is clear. And you'd be thinking, I don't even know why. Why this happened to me? Could it be that the outward prison was just an indication of an inward prison?
Amen. Thank you so much once again, Shimikoti Ministries, Radio Network International, through our co-producer, Kela Paget, voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, continuing with you, part two, the Rock Incident, talking about Moses.
Produced by Kela Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.